This is KNPR and KNPR.org. He's been called one of Las Vegas's most important entertainers and cultural icons. The second part of our story of Mr. Show Business.
As the story went, reported by Mark Twain,
in the name of the people of the United States, to whom you bold and armed.
The stage is set in Nevada for the 35th nuclear explosion. Donald Campbell, the fastest man on water on Lake Mead, Nevada.
Last time we talked about the centennial of Sammy Davis Jr., he'd been a part of the Will Mastin Trio, then starred solo in Las Vegas showrooms, but in 1960, he was a part of a major quintet. The other members were Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Joy Bishop, and Peter Lawford. They came to be known as the Rat Pack, a name Sinatra hated. Supposedly, he wanted to call them the Klan, as in a family. Supposedly, Davis told him that name had certain connotations. Anyway, in early 1960, as they filmed Ocean's 11 in Las Vegas, the five of them got together in what was called the Summit at the Sands, and it was a happening. Davis made other movies, starred on Broadway, and had hit records. But this is Nevada Yesterdays, so we want to talk about his role here in our state. Davis himself said of Las Vegas, and I quote, "This town made me, and there ain't no doubt about it," end of quote. He started playing the Sands in 1956, when the boss there, Jack and Trotter, offered him $25,000 a week. That was big money then. After the Summit of 1960, he, Sinatra, and Martin came together in 1963 for what they called Three Coins in the Copa, with all three performing in the Sands showroom. Davis kept performing at the Sands, but he moved across the street to Caesar's Palace after Howard Hughes bought the property and Jack and Trotter had left. Davis said he would have stayed at the Sands for nothing if and Trotter had still been there. He played at Caesar's for a decade, but felt out of place. He said he needed a more intimate showroom than the larger Circus Maximus. In 1983, the announcement came with great fanfare that Frank, Dean, and Sammy would open the new arena built at the edge of the UNLV campus. But when the Thomas and Mack opened, Sammy was under the weather, and Diana Ross filled in. Davis's health was beginning to fail. Alcohol, drug abuse had taken their toll. So did four packs of cigarettes a day. And so did the burdens of being a star who still faced racial prejudice. He pushed in Trotter to let his family attend his shows. He marched with Martin Luther King Jr. and raised money for the NAACP. As time caught up with him, he had kind of a second wind in Las Vegas. He and Jerry Lewis performed together at Bally's to huge crowds and with great reviews. He still performed in Reno. In fact, Bill Hara adored him, and the showroom at Hara's in Reno was called Sammy's. But by 1989, Davis had developed throat cancer, and he died on May 16, 1990, at the age of 64. Two nights later, the Strip dimmed its lights for 10 minutes in his honor. How could we describe Sammy Davis Jr. in just a few words? Maybe the best way came from the mother of the historian who writes this program. His parents got married in Las Vegas in 1964. They stayed at the Sahara, where Tony Bennett was in the showroom. But they went down the street to see Sammy at the Sands. He asked his mother if they saw another show. She replied, "Once you've seen Sammy Davis Jr., you've seen it all. And mothers are always right." This is Senator Richard Bryan, urging you to join me next time for more Nevada Yesterdays.
Nevada Yesterdays is written by UNLV history professor Michael Green and is supported by Nevada Humanities. This is KNPR and KNPR.org.